Welcome, everyone, to the Hope Story Circle with the Peace Alliance. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, the Peace Alliance our mission is to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. And these Hope Story Circles are meant to provide a place for people to share their emerging stories. I am Terry Mason. I'm on the board of directors, and I'm joined to facilitate with Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is also a board member, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead and a mindfulness expert. This week, our special guest, however, is Dan Kahn, and Dan is our National Field Coordinator and has been for several years. He is a powerful force of positive energy in this world, and we are delighted to have him here. And I'm going to unmute you, Dan, and also I'm going to unmute Yelena. You can unmute yourself, and we'll get started.
Wonderful. Thank you, Terry. Welcome, Dan. So excited to see you here. I just want to invite everybody into a moment of practice. And today, the way that we are going to practice getting into our bodies and settling our hearts and minds is through poetry. We kind of opened that space a little bit last time, and right now I think we want to deepen it. And the invitation is really listening to poetry as a way to let your whole self in, really listening and while breathing and inviting stillness and listening with our whole selves, with our body, with our mind, with our heart and our spirit, and noticing with our whole self what arises in the body, what is moving, where is that felt sense, in the mind, what kind of story is this telling, in the heart, what kind of emotion arises when you are listening to these words, and in the spirit, what kind of presence this generates in your whole entire body and just your entire wholeness. So I'm going to read one of the Dan's poem, and I just invite you to breathe, come back into stillness, and listen. This revolution has compassion. This one of mine, is it not ultimately in each of us and all of us? Where and how this revolution lives and dies, inhales, exhales, cheers and mourns, seeks to make amends, to understand, to fight, to reconcile? What do these words mean? To each of us, for all of us, for you, for me, and for you. And with that, just let it sit for a moment. Maybe taking some deep, softening breaths. I would love to invite Dan to guide us from this point. Thank you, Dan, for being here.
Thank you, Yelena. I really appreciated hearing you read that. And thanks, Terry and Liz and Yelena, for creating this space and for inviting me to join you all. Hi, everybody. Good day, middle of the day, morning. Nice to be with you all. Good to see some familiar faces. So these guys invited me to participate in this, and the question that they prompted me with, something to think about, was, what is my emerging story? What is my emerging story in these times? So kind of a big question, right? I mean, it could be, if you really think about where's my life going? Where am I now? What's happening next? And they also said it would be okay if I threw them some curveballs, but I didn't have to stick to the script. I could basically go wherever I needed to go and it'd be okay. So they were wonderful facilitators. So if there's a theme or a title to my little talk time, and I understand I'll be talking for the next 10 or 12 minutes, mostly about myself, which is kind of unusual for me to talk to a group about myself for 10 minutes. So trying this out. If there's a title, it might be something like, it could be time for a plot twist or multiple plot twists. So I guess I would invite you to wonder if there are plot twists emerging in your stories as well. So when we were talking about what this call should involve, what my talk might involve, that poem came up, the one that Yelena just read. And that's a poem that I wrote a week ago. I didn't know if I'd be sharing it with anybody when I wrote it. I certainly didn't think I was about to share it with a lot of people. And when I thought about that poem later, it also brought to mind a song that I wrote maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So at the end of my talk, I might share a little song. We'll see how much time there is and if I'm in the mood. I want to acknowledge some of my ancestors, my parents that worked hard to take care of me and raise me. And so much of what I will share was possible due to my parents' care. And my grandparents, all of whom left Europe because of really strenuous, somewhat deadly in some cases conditions, and made a life in the United States. I also want to acknowledge some of my privilege that at least one of those grandparents came to the United States with money. They all came with white skin and were able to create business opportunities and grow their wealth to a degree to pay for their children's college education, which started me off with a lot of privilege. So I had all my education that I ever wanted was available to be paid for by my parents, which is a tremendous opportunity that not a lot of people have had. And I also had very nourishing older brothers and sisters that had a chance to take good care of me. So appreciate all that, which I understand is not broadly shared in some ways that are structurally reinforced. So speaking about this time, this quarantine time, things have been working out pretty well in general. My moods have been sometimes all over the place. I've felt myself needing to take more naps. I don't know if people can relate to that. Usually I like to indulge in my need for naps anyway. I love it that my current lifestyle, even before COVID, is that my office is 15 minutes away by car, half an hour by bike. I can come home in the middle of the day for a nap. That's a major quality of life ingredient for me. And now I'm home all day. I can nap whenever I want to. And I do, pretty much. There are some structures. I have staff meetings. I have a lot of scheduled things, but it's free. That also has meant a lot more time in the garden. My garden is doing, I have a more robust garden than I think I've had at any time in my life. My relationship with my housemate has been really sweet. We had a lot of communication opportunities, little challenges here and there, but I mostly really relish the heart and the opportunities to grow in our communication and our clarity. So a lot of things are doing well. And some folks don't know, I have 3.5 jobs. So I am the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, as a lot of you know. I also am a case manager with the Community Connections Restorative Justice Program here in Tallahassee, and I get to work with teenagers in that program. I'm also the executive director of the Florida Restorative Justice Association. So it's a statewide association of restorative justice fans, facilitators, students, et cetera. And I also am the coordinator of a project called RJNet. So it's a network of RJ regional associations that is around the country. So it's just it's a once a month conference call of people sharing challenges and best practices in the restorative practices area. And it's my pleasure to facilitate that process. And I wanna say a lot of those opportunities and understandings came about through my connection with the Peace Alliance. That 15 years ago, I started volunteering with the Peace Alliance. And from my connection with the Peace Alliance, I learned about a lot of peace building tools, methods, modalities from what's happening in classrooms, what's happening in dialogues, what's happening in judicial systems, what's happening internationally. And I was learning about it from the perspective of largely advocacy. So let's look at these programs and practices and see how practical are they. If I'm gonna talk to my member of Congress and their staff about some of these programs, I wanna know, are they effective? Are they useful? What is adaptable? What is economically more feasible and promising? So gratitude to the Peace Alliance and acknowledgement that that's been a real place of learning and exposure to the point where now I'm really happy at how leveraged my time and energy is. That having learned about these things, I participate in those ways that I described, and that's really lucky, and I'm glad that I had that opportunity. That being said, I want to refer to something that caught my attention last night as I was thinking about what am I going to say? What's this going to consist of? I saw this meme. And this can apply to me, and it can apply to any of you. I downloaded it to my phone. It's a colorful picture. I'll show you how colorful it is. And it's a piece of writing. It says, I do not owe a single person an explanation for why I'm living my life the way I am or why I do the things I do. There may be truth in that for you. There may be resonance. It's valuable for me. And this kind of segues into some of the personal growth work that I've been able to do with that community connections job, working with teenagers. Our staff is pretty dedicated to developing our own empathetic communication skills and working on our own hearts and minds and communication methods. So as part of that, we've all got ourselves copies of this book. Sorry for the quick product promotion, Your Resonant Self. Your Resonant Self, it's not my product, but it's a workbook. There are meditations with each chapter. You can get to the meditations online without buying the book. And I think she's a powerful teacher. Sarah Payton, it combines empathy, communication, skills, and understandings with a deep research background in neurobiology. So you're learning about how is my brain actually working and how am I rewiring these pathways if there is trauma, and there's probably some degree of trauma in all of us that we respond to in moments when we're triggered. So how can I develop my relationship with myself and in ways that might help me to do better in X, Y, and Z, to do better and just be happier, to be less triggered, be more aware, to be more of a peace-building force, and to have more peace, have more effectiveness. So somewhere in my process with that book, and this is something that I came to about 11, 12 days ago, being a little more self-scheduled is probably even more the case that I'm my own monitor. You know, I decide when I'm scheduling myself for different chunks of work and different activities. So the voice in me that can be a little more critical or judging, like, am I spending enough time on this or that or the other thing? Am I being effective enough? Am I too lazy? Some of that has been in the background. So I've been having more of a chance, I think, to grapple with or experience that voice and my relationship to it. So with some of the guidance, I think, that I credit this book with, I took a moment and asked that voice, okay, let me take some guesses to that voice. At what needs are you trying to meet? So from an empathetic language standpoint, a needs-based language standpoint, what needs is this voice trying to meet when it's telling me these things which don't land for me in ways that meet my needs for joy or ease or acceptance, perhaps? But I'm asking the voice, and I was guessing, so is it a need for effectiveness? Is it a need for ease? Because you'll be more relaxed if you get something done that you feel that you'll feel good about. But I know how that kind of treadmill works. It comes right back. You know, if I get something done, and then the next thing will start calling to me eventually. So is it ease? Is it effectiveness? And then something occurred to me, like a little bit under that, like, is it emotional safety? Is there a need for emotional safety because you're afraid, you're concerned that someone is going to judge you, that someone is going to be critical of you, and this is your strategy for emotional safety, is you're saying, get that thing done so that no one will criticize you, so you don't get that critical voice, and because you're afraid or concerned about judgment. And I felt some self-resonance. So in that point, I'm witnessing with that voice, which is part of me, and practicing what the book calls being a resonant self-witness. So I'm trying to be enhance the resonant self-witness voice of myself. And in that moment, I found myself saying, yeah, kind of me too. Like, I also have fear of being judged and a critical voice, and I want emotional safety. So I was kind of relating to my own inner voice, which sounds a little bizarre perhaps, but maybe it also sounds very real. And in that moment it was, and I felt like create space in me for some movement, for some, healing, moving, letting go of the urgency of needing to talk to myself with that tone of voice. And that lasted distinctly for, 10 or 12 hours. It's not like I'm fixed forever. But even since then, I've still sensed the presence and the benefit of some of that work, So it's been a long buildup. It wasn't instant overnight. That happened in that conversation, but I've been throwing myself at this book over and over for like a year. And I still haven't gotten past like chapter 7. I get to like chapter 4 and then I got to take a break. And I'm telling you, it's work. The first couple of chapters are more gentle. A little later, you get into relating to voices that are more difficult, and the work becomes thicker. So it can bring stuff up. Our staff speculated that no one has ever gotten through chapter 9. The book has like 12 chapters, but it's possible that no one ever in the history of the book has gotten, it might just be blank back there. We don't know. So anyway, that's my self work that I get to do as part of my work for Community Connections. I've also had the chance to put some of my communication skills into practice with my friends in friends who are having difficult situations. I got some friends who I attended their wedding a year and a half ago, and they're married. They've been having some serious challenges in their connection. So being present for both of them in ways that were relatively aware and strategic and effective and warm. That's been a learning journey for me, be able to use some of my skills in my life, which is part of why I dedicated myself to this more hands-on work about 3.5 years ago, because I want these skills in my life. Let me time check, because I may be talking a lot longer than I had planned on particular subjects. I see it's 12:19. Will somebody tell me when I should wrap up? Give me a time.
You got maybe about 3 minutes more.
About 3 minutes to wrap up?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks. So been eating good food, taking the opportunity to do more cooking, sharing food with friends, putting these communication skills into practice. I acknowledge the emotional ups and downs, and energy. Sometimes I just don't, if I have an emotional shock in these COVID days and these racial tension, what's my role in the evolution kind of higher pressured times, emotional shocks can be more of a setback than I'm accustomed to. An emotional shock in these days, something that somebody says that sits wrong with me and touches me emotionally, I might need 2 or 3 hours to rest, and like, which is strange. It's unusual, but it's valuable as well. I think of the learning curve that I'm on as valuable, and there's parts of me that doesn't want this quarantine to end too quickly, honestly, in terms of my own personal growth. I mean, I want people to be well, I want people to have jobs, and looking at my own trajectory, there are strong benefits to it. I mentioned the garden, I got some hot peppers growing, got some sweet potato greens that just volunteer, and I can cook them up. If you don't know what sweet potato greens are, I suggest Googling them, because you might have them in your yard or your garden without knowing it. They're pretty tasty, a little bit heavy. You can eat them as a snack, you can steam them, saute them, no problem. I've got pine cone ginger in abundance, which I've mostly moved from the compost pile to the front yard. And pine cone ginger creates this like yummy moisturizer. I promise, it creates this like pine cone shaped thing. It looks like a fist more or less. It's red, maybe you've seen them. Especially after a rain, if you squeeze it gently, this nectar comes out and it's really, really nice on your face, on your hair. It's not sticky, it smells great. I think the Hawaiian word for it is awapui. And you can find that ingredient in like shampoos and stuff. It'll say awapui. This is the stuff that grows in our zone, at least, pretty prolifically. And I'm excited to build some bat houses. I built one on New Year's Day. And I've got some more that are lined up to build. One for our yard, some other for friends. Bat houses, flying mammals, they're awesome. They eat mosquitoes. They create fertilizer. I already know where I want to have it, right at the top of this little mound at the top of the garden, so I can work it straight into the compost garden area without having it get too smelly. In conclusion, there are a couple of possible plot twists. You know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. It'll keep happening on different levels in different amounts. And I've loved the enhanced connection with nature time that I've gotten to experience. I crave more time in water. I'm open to the possibility that, all right, this is the kooky edge, but it also might really be where my life leads me. Back in 98, I had a 5-year idea. It wasn't as much a plan, but as a vision. What about in 5 years, if I could have expertise in interspecies communication? Maybe in some ways, that's some next level work for me. I love connecting with other species. Spiders, dogs, butterflies, lizards. If I could have a chance, and also I've envisioned for a while that at some point in my life, at some point I was going to have a highly aquatic phase of life, that I'm going to live really close to water. I'm going to be in and out the water all the time is my vision. It's going to be really good for me. I love the water. So maybe someplace coastal, maybe an island, maybe just a big lake, but I can also see myself relating in interesting ways with sea creatures. I love the way that I connect with wild animals. So maybe I'll go back to school in wild animal veterinary technology. Maybe I will study habitat health. I can see some continuing to work from a communications and relationship standpoint, because that has been my focus in terms of leverage and effectiveness in the world. Plus it gets me in the water on a regular basis. Could be a good angle. Possible plot twists for me coming through this time. Also in the context of all of my work, I have the chance to look out for and take action around making sure there is substantial enough minority voices in the work that we are doing. So there's a renewed emphasis, renewed dedication, renewed commitment that in all of my work that I am in some capacity, some sense, paying attention to equity and equality, and what is my role in promoting a more equitable and sustainable and fair and just future. I don't think we have time for my song right now. I'll let the folks tell me if we have time for it later, but I'll leave it off there and pass the ball back to one of our wonderful hosts.
Thank you, Dan. Liz, Yelena, who'd like to frame the breakout?
Yelena, would you like me to frame the breakout?
Yeah. Go ahead, Liz. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. I really want to thank you for that share. And I was picking up on two threads as we were thinking about framing. What is emerging for you right now? And I think what I liked is what you brought up at the, I'm going to focus on what you chose to open with and close with. And that's that idea of plot twists. That's the idea about plot twists. If any of you spend time on social media, we've seen a lot of things like, wait, what happened to the murder hornets? Wait, look, what's happening? All these things are coming up. What will July bring? And it's kind of this humorous way to deal with the fact that in this moment, none of us are certain what's coming up. So maybe as we move in, Dan, since that's where your story led, maybe as we move into the small group shares, if we want to talk about in these last few weeks, months, are there things that are coming up for you that are unexpected in a way you feel like sharing that is either very exciting to you or maybe even a little frightening to you if that's an energy you don't mind sharing with the small group? So if we want to kind of move into the group, what are the plot twists and where can you see them kind of going for you or awakening or incorporating into your emerging story?
Wonderful. All right, so for those of you who are new to our Hope Story Circles, I'm going to invite you to a breakout room. I'm gonna press a magic button and you'll be given an opportunity to join a breakout room. You'll be in a separate room with hopefully two other people. I'm trying to make it so there's three in every room. The numbers might not work out. There might be two, there might be four, but I'm working on three. And if you get a second invitation, it's because I'm trying to balance that. So go ahead and take that invitation. That second one's a good one. Also, I've learned that those of you who are on the phone and not on the Zoom video seem to have problems unmuting yourself once you get in the breakout room. So I'm first, before I do the breakout rooms, I'm going to unmute anyone who's just on the phone. So I hope you're not talking to somebody else or doing something you don't want to be heard doing. I'm going to unmute the 541 area code. And
hello.
Yep, there you are. Oh, there was one more, I thought. Hang on. Thought there was one more. Don't see it. I guess not. Maybe they dropped off. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the breakout rooms and see. And there you go. You'll get an invitation. Go join your room and we'll be back in about 15 minutes or so.
So I'm going to make three Zoom sessions for July, August, and September, Terry.
Yeah, give me a second. Okay.
You might want to pause the recording.
Yes. So welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a nice time together.
Hi, everyone. We had a lovely visit in the large room. And so what I'm going to invite people to do is if there's any, I'm going to put my glass up now so I make sure I don't miss someone. Is there anyone who would like to talk about what came up in their room, you know, keeping in mind the sharing of our own stories and the feelings, maybe not so much the details if people shared, but is there anyone who would like to share what came up for them in the room that felt really important for the larger group? Linda?
Yes, hi. We actually employed our plot twists because we had a little bit of technical difficulties with the sound midway through our meeting together. And it was great because we found a way to work around that. And I love what Dan talked about in terms of plot twists, and our world is full of those right now. And the thing that The other thing that we talked about is maybe that illusion of control that we can have with those plot twists to make them twist towards the better. And we also talked about sometimes running without purpose. And as long as we can create that purpose for ourselves, that even if it's a personal purpose and we can conquer that, then we're going to move forward in a little bit more positive way in the world and be able to share that positivity with other people.
Thank you, Linda. And I love how, I mean, Linda's been on all these calls and she incorporates it so well, but I just want to take a second as we move into to new shares that for anyone who's new or hasn't been here before, as I said, remember to honor any privacy in the rooms. Remember to speak what comes alive in your heart at the moment. Share what feels really powerful to share and just say enough so that we can get as many people who want to share as possible. So thank you for leading us off by example, Linda. Is there someone else who would like to share what came up for them in the small group?
May I just share a thought?
Sure, of course.
As I was speaking with Patty and Ida, which I really enjoyed, I let them speak first because I thought, I don't even know what plot twists I've been experiencing. And then when it came for my turn to speak, I realized it's been 3 months, 15 weeks of plot twists, incessant plot twists. And I've been sort of just letting them happen and with the flow and dealing with it when it's come along. And I was speaking these words and realizing, okay, I don't want to think about it too hard because I'm getting a little anxious just thinking about how much I've had to deal with plot twists for 15 weeks. So that was interesting to realize in that moment that there have been constant ones. And I wasn't even consciously aware of that until I spoke them.
Wow. Thank you for that, Annette.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Anyone else who would like to share, you may unmute yourself. And if you can't seem to figure that out, you can raise your hand. I'll try to spot you and see if I can help.
This is Kathy, and I was talking with Kendra and Bud, and we had a nice little meeting, and I was talking about how 25 years ago I had a plot twist that was unexpected where I wound up starting to play music in the hospital for patients after being a musician in the community and being involved with a lot, you know, peace organizations and various nonprofit groups and such. So just playing music for people in the hospital turned into a lifelong career for me, and it's been very rewarding and fulfilling. And I guess the plot twist, which I didn't realize till after we would all talked about it, was that when all of a sudden we weren't allowed to go play at the bedside anymore, we couldn't go into the hospital. We weren't allowed to go there because they were expecting a large population of people coming in who were really ill. So during that period of time, we had to sort of relearn what we were doing and had to refigure out how to deliver the services to the patients. And we created a new aspect to our website with Arts and Medicine at UF Health called Aim to Connect. And it was to connect ways to all our artists could connect virtually with people, from doing interactive art engagement online and music videos online at people's requests to actually going eventually into the room, doing a Zoom into the room bedside visit with somebody via Zoom. But then with like I think 2 weeks ago or maybe more now, we started going back to the hospital again. And what was nice about it, what I think Linda was maybe talking about, was that we learned to be able to be more slowed down when we're in the bedside with the patient, when we're at the bedside, and kind of take advantage of this time with all the research projects are on hold and all these different things that we were having to get involved in that kind of took away from the actual practice of the connection and being with the people and doing the art with them. So we're really appreciating that now, that that's kind of an aspect of this time that we've all sort of learned to slow down in various ways.
Wonderful. You probably have time for one more share if someone would like to. Kendra, can you unmute yourself? I can, there you got it.
And we talked together about our experiences in music and how important they were. And so that makes me want to hear Dan's song.
Yeah. That's good, because that's in our plan.
So. Yeah, we've already incorporated. Is there anyone else who has one quick share then that they would like? All right, well then what we could do now is, Kendra, you gave the perfect lead in. I'm going to do my wrap up just a couple of minutes early, because we're going to give Dan some time to end on his song.
And before you do.
Yes.
Public service announcements. Just a couple of links I'm going to post in the chat. We have the link for the Peace Alliance. So that those of you who have not visited our website, you're welcome to do so. We also have a link to the Peace on podcast. So all the Hope Story Circle's International Monthly Calls are podcasts. And you can certainly go there and listen to them and share them with your personal network. We also have an advocacy action, the Blueprint for Peace. With one single click, you can send a message to all of your federal and state elected officials supporting policies that fall into our five cornerstones of peace. And if you're so inspired, you can donate to the Peace Alliance. We would welcome your financial support. We also have our national monthly call coming up a week from Tuesday. It's the second Tuesday of every month. Dan is our host on the national monthly calls. And this month we have a wonderful guest from the International Coalition of Sites of Consciousness. Her name is Ereshni Naidu Silverman. I'm sure I'm butchering her name, but she's, it's extraordinary. I'm going to paste in the website to learn more about her. If you're interested, and also the link to join that call. You need to register in advance for that call, and we'd love to have you join us for the call. And those are all my announcements.
Thank you. Dan, as I was thinking about weaving the parts of your story and where we come from, what struck me was when you held up that colorful little meme and said, I don't owe anyone, I don't remember the wording, but it brought to mind a brief story I'd like to share about a friend of mine. I have a beautiful friend, she's in her mid-70s, and she is the most glorious human being you'd want to see. She walks and there's like a glow around her and people stop and turn. She just walks with this air of beauty and love. But for the first almost 60 years of her life, she lived a life that was born in deep trauma, deep pain, a lot of addiction. And as she approached 60, she said, I really want to examine and move into the fullness of who I was supposed to be. And she kind of reclaimed her life in a very powerful way. And she's on this beautiful journey. As I said, I just want to do all I can to spend time in this person's presence. And she told me a little while ago, maybe a year or two ago, she said she was at a party and it was a room full of people, and there were people who she knew, some of them didn't know others. And she was just talking about a little bit of something she wanted to share. And someone in the room said to her, you're really full of yourself. And she turned to him and said, well, who else should I be full of? And what I loved about that is, Dan, you spoke a little to this, right? In our lives, sometimes when we're young or as we're growing up, people either take things out of us or put things into us that keep us from becoming the fullness of ourselves, right? We're full of so many things that aren't ourselves, and we spend a lot of time undoing that work to once again come to the fullness of ourselves. So I said, talk about plot twists. Ever since I heard that, I've been trying to twist that plot, right? And reclaiming that idea of being full of ourselves. So as we move into this week, one of the plot twists you might welcome is, how can I really work in this moment to become full of myself and have that as gift to both myself and the offering to the world? So with that said, Dan, you said you needed a couple of minutes, and we want to invite you to close with the fullness of yourself. Thank you for the fullness of yourself, your poetry, your voice, and now your gift of music. So we want to... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just one more thing, Dan, before you start. We are not having our Hope Story Circle next Saturday. Oh. We'll resume the week following. Just a reminder.
Yeah. Go, Dan. Thank you. Yeah, so I want to quickly thank Terry and Yelena for your beautiful companionship on this and all our friends who return every week. So thank you, Dan. And you're on.
You're on mute. I'm unmuting you now. Sorry.
No problem.
Now you're clear. Now you're on.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Slight correction to something Terry said. Our guest for July, she's with an organization called Sites of Conscience. So not consciousness. So it's she's a senior director of Global Transitional Justice Initiative. So it's like restorative practices, truth and reconciliation as applied to big social contexts. Like what was done in South Africa, what was done in Guatemala, can we have truth and reconciliation for our racial and indigenous history here in the United States is where it's heading. Thank you. Okay, so this song, a few of you might have heard it if you were state coordinators at the State Coordinator Forward in Minnesota, because I think I sang it to the group there. Liz, are you here? You might have heard this song. All right, that tells you how long it goes back. It's at least 15 years old. Here you go. Thank you, guys. Every little thing you do has ripples in a pool as deep and wide as all that is. You are a savior and a superman each moment, every day. And any kind or gentle thought can be the light, the truth, the way. What is the shape? What is the color of your stone? Is it a soldier in an avalanche or more or less alone? If you should cry out in a wail of grief, forsaken like a falling leaf, how many more will answer to remind you that the forest is your home? You may have heard that we are all interconnected. Maybe you wonder what that means from day to day. When every cloud you do or do not see is part of you and part of me, and rain falls on its mother's face, and snow and hail are full of grace. Surrender and survive. Keep your breathing heart alive. And every father, every son, every planet, every sun, every spirit is the one.
Nice.
Thank you,
so much. I'm going to unmute. I want to unmute everybody and I can't seem to do it. Unmute yourself so you can say goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Love you guys. Thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Yes. Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from the thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.